Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot-selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light, we want them to be portable, and this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Welcome to the Tech Guide Podcast. We've hit double figures, episode 10. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. We're glad you can join us. I'm Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. And on this show, as usual, we've got lots to talk about this week, including the mobile phone etiquette for restaurants and one restaurant that's actually doing something about it. We'll also look at Samsung's decision to open their own experience store. And we'll also wish Compact Disc a happy 30th birthday. In our reviews, we've got a real phone theme happening this week. We'll be checking out the Uniden cordless phone system that's also Bluetooth compatible, the power pack and case for the Galaxy S3, and the entry-level Telstra Urbane Android handset. We got our hands on that earlier this week. This week's Tech Guide interview is with John Coppola, the e-learning coordinator from Clancy Catholic College in Sydney's southwest, and his views on how technology is really helping today's students. And we'll also finish off the show with your questions on the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, a Tech Guide news update.
Well, restaurants, often we see on many of the tables in a restaurant, we see the place settings and the wine glasses, and we also see mobile phones sitting on the table too. And there's been a real lot of split opinions about the use of mobile phones in restaurants. Some are really against it, others don't mind. But I think there's the etiquette in a restaurant is... I think if you're, it may be a little bit rude if you're sitting at a table with a guest or whether it's one or two other people and you get a phone call. Do you answer it at the table? Do you just let it go to voicemail? Do you ignore it? I don't know how you feel. I think the proper thing to do was to give the people that you're at the table with your full attention. But it doesn't just stop at calls, of course. There's also people who are checking in on Facebook and tweeting that they're having a great meal and taking photos of their dishes and really taking it to the next level with using their smartphones. But one LA restaurant has decided to do something about it and offer customers a 5% discount if they decide to check in their smartphones at the door. So in other words, leave them behind at the door, enjoy their meal technology free. No smartphones, no nothing. The guests just enjoy the food, enjoy the atmosphere, the wine, and their company, of course, the people that they're there with. The restaurant is the Eva restaurant on Beverly Boulevard in West Hollywood. And the owner, who happens to be the chef as well, says that he wants his customers to experience the restaurant and all it has to offer, the good food, the wine, and the whole atmosphere. So I think it's I personally like the idea. I don't know whether 5%, though, is enough to make me – 5% off the bill is enough to make me give up my smartphone at the door. Maybe if we get to 10%, maybe a little bit more, he might have my smartphone to look after while I'm eating. So – I'd love to know what you all think, though. Send me an email at info@techguide.com.au, what you think about that. I've written a story on Tech Guide as well, so feel free to post your comment on that story there. I think this is something that may divide a lot of listeners, whether they think, well, now it's only a phone and they may need to have access to that device. Others may think, well, yeah, we're in a restaurant for a reason. They don't want to be interrupted with a smartphone. And whether it's just people at your table, how would you feel about people at the table next to you? Maybe loud conversation on their smartphones, them taking photos of their dishes and sharing them on social networks, something that has got a lot of different opinions about. But check out the story on Tech Guide. Yeah, the restaurant, if you happen to be in LA and if you are listening in the US, maybe you can head to this restaurant and let us know how it all goes. You may want to check in your smartphone at Eva Restaurant in West Hollywood there if you happen to be lucky enough to be in the US. And let us know whether it was worth the 5% discount not to have your smartphone. But if you want to read more about that, the story is at techguide.com.au. Samsung this week opening an experience store in Sydney, in George Street, actually not far from the Apple store, as a matter of fact, in downtown Sydney. And they follow, obviously, I mentioned Apple have their own very successful chain of retail outlets, as do Sony. There's a lot of Sony experience centres around Australia and around the world as well. So these stores obviously offer wall-to-wall products from that particular manufacturer, and Samsung, being one of the world's biggest manufacturers, have decided to hop in on that as well. And this, the Sydney store, I understand, is only the second in the world that Samsung has created. The other, the earlier store was in Vancouver, Canada. So my understanding is, I was sent an invitation to attend a media event this week. And my understanding is that it is mainly concentrating on the Samsung's mobile devices and the connectivity between them. There may be TVs to illustrate the use of sharing content with those flat panels, flat screen TVs and tablets and things like that. But I think the focus is going to be on smartphones, on tablets, laptops, all those mobility products that are easy to pick up, buy on the spot and walk out the door. I don't know whether, and I may be wrong, I don't know whether they're going to have their concentration on their televisions and those larger items, audio systems, home theater systems, because that is a little hard to lug out of the store in the middle of the city. I think they may leave those larger purchases maybe to their retail partners, your Harvey Normans, JB Hi-Fis, Dick Smiths, all those people who are in the channel there selling Samsung's products. But it seems to be, and I attended an event last week at Samsung revealed their 75-inch TV, and happened to ask their head of AV, Phil Newton, why they're such a large company, why they wouldn't think about opening their own experience store. And his answer was, well, you just have to wait and see about that. And there you go. The very next day in my inbox was an invitation to attend the opening of the Sydney Samsung experience store. Samsung's a very large company that they make all kinds of products. Whether it's from a smartphone all the way up to televisions, they even sell white goods, fridges, washing machines, things like that. So the company's got quite a large amount of breadth. There's products there for everybody in every category. Now, whether that's going to be the case to what we see at the Sydney Experience Store, as I mentioned, I think it's mainly going to be the mobility products that are going to get everyone's attention. The fact that it's called an experience store means that they're going to have a lot of products there you can get your hands on and use and really experience how they can interact with each other and all of their capabilities. So you head on down to the Samsung Experience Store. It's opening later this week in George Street in Sydney. If you happen to be down there, I've written a small report on Tech Guide, so check that out. But also check out the Samsung Experience Store.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, compact disc. How many people are still listening to compact disc? Now, there'll be a fair amount of people who still are. There's a lot of collectors out there, audiophiles, who may even be clinging on to vinyl, but there are a lot of people who really value their music and want to see their collection. I know that today your entire collection can sit on a hard drive, but there are still a lot of people, I believe, and I know, that would prefer to be able to see their music collection on the shelf and really value that whole collection in its physical form, and in this case, the compact disc, which turned 30 last week. So back in August 1982, the result of some work by Philips and Sony, they created the compact disc. Now, for anyone who's old enough to remember vinyl, and the arguably still a better sound, if you ask many of the audiophiles who own a turntable, they argue that vinyl still offers a much warmer, more natural sound. But compact disc, obviously being a digital format, they feel doesn't quite have the warmth of vinyl, but compact disc, they really can't be beaten in terms of convenience. Now, anyone, like I said, anyone who can remember vinyl knows that you got to actually turn the record over to hear the B-side, but also trying to find the next track, lifting up that needle and putting it to the next track. And if you're happy to be listening on a tape deck, fast forwarding and rewinding to the start of a song can take all night. I know, because when I was young, that's how I used to listen to my music, on a tape deck. But when compact disc came along, not only did it sound a lot better, hour, but it was a lot more convenient. But yeah, so 30-year celebration for the compact disc. Probably a lot of more people are downloading music now. There'll be anyone who's under, I think, 20 years of age, maybe 18 years of age, may not even own a CD. All their music, since they've been old enough to listen and even buy music, download music, has all come down the pipe. iTunes, all these online music stores, a lot of music streaming plans too, like your RDO, Spotify, Mog, things like that, where you just pay a monthly subscription. So a lot of these subscription services have obviously taken over from the need to buy a compact disc. When you think about it, these streaming services only around about $12 a month, which is less than the price of a CD per month. So if you are a huge music fan, economically it does pay to join the streaming service. It's a lot cheaper to listen to as much music as you want rather than buying your individual compact disc. But having said that, as I mentioned at the start of the segment, there are a lot of people who'd love to see, who collect their music, who love to see that CD case or that vinyl record on the shelf, like to have a look at the liner notes, like to hold something in their hand when they're listening to their music. So for those, they've probably had the birthday cake out for compact discs 30-year-old celebration. My first compact disc that I ever bought, I bought it in the mid-80s. I think it was around 86. I know that compact discs only came out a couple of years earlier. My first CD that I bought was John Farnham's Whispering Jack. Actually, I bought two CDs at that same time, Whispering Jack and the Fleetwood Mac album Tango in the Night, which I quite enjoyed. I think it was around 1987, actually, from memory. So I was a little bit late to the party. Compact disc was already was 5 years old when I jumped in. But we'd love to hear from you too. I've written a blog down the bottom of the Tech Guide site about the compact disc's 30th birthday. So if you want to jump in and tell us your memories of compact disc and your first CDs, we'd love to hear from you. So check that out at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, we've got our reviews are very much phone themed this week. That's a coincidence, but we'll go with it. Our first product is from Uniden, a very well known company for producing cordless phones. And their latest model, the XDECT 6135 BTU, is another cordless phone, which has got a base station with a built-in answering machine. And there's also packages you can buy it with one extra handset, two extra handsets, or buy individual handsets. It can take up to 10 handsets, actually, this device. But this Uniden product has one major difference. It's got Bluetooth. Now, you're probably thinking, why would I need Bluetooth on a cordless phone, a cordless home phone for that matter? Well, think of it this way. You can pair up to four mobile phones to the Uniden device. So rather than you having to carry your mobile phone around the house hoping you're not going to miss a call, you can leave your mobile phone paired to the Uniden product, walk around the house as you would, or the office, and answer your mobile phone. If a call comes through your mobile and it is paired to this system, one of the handsets in your home or office is going to ring. You simply pick up one of those handsets conveniently located around your home or office, and you can answer your mobile as well as your home calls, home line calls, if you do receive them, on the handset. And even what impresses me even more about this product is, even if you don't own a landline, there's a lot of people who've got a mobile phone with a cap plan, which is enough for them to not need a landline in their home. They don't want to pay the monthly line rental, so they've decided to use their mobile for all of their calls. The Uniden product can still come in handy, because even if you don't have the landline coming in to the Uniden device, you can still pair your mobile phones, up to four of them, to the Uniden 6135 BTU. And again, you can place as many of these handsets around the home just for convenience. Maybe one in the bedroom, one in the kitchen, one in the lounge, and leave your mobile phone in one spot so that it's paired and you can answer your calls anywhere. The base station of the Uniden device also has a USB slot, so you can actually charge your mobile device, whatever it happens to be, whether it's an iPhone, an Android device. You can actually charge up your phone as well. So not only will it be paired, it's also getting its battery topped up as well. The device itself has got high definition sound, so it's really clear call quality, and also the range of the handsets can be placed anywhere else around the house. Only the base station needs a phone connection. The other base stations can connect. The other handsets can connect wirelessly to the base station. All they need is a power point to keep the handset charged. So it's not like you need to put multiple phone points around your home. There is also a companion product that works with the device. It's a headset. It's the HS950. That's only $59.95. And what that does, that lets you pair that headset to the unit in system. So, and what that does, it lets you roam around your property, your home, your office, and it takes that range of that Bluetooth connection even further. So you're not going to miss a call, whether it's your home phone or your mobile phone. The unit in XDECT, that's XDECT, 6135 BTU plus one, that's one extra handset, so two in total, $159.95. The XDECT 6135 BT plus two, that's two extra handsets, three in total, $199.95. I've done a full review on techguide.com.au. Feel free to check it out. Now, the Samsung Galaxy S3 is a very popular device, a very popular smartphone. So popular, there's a huge range of accessories now, whether it's cases, all kinds of accessories that go with the device. But one in particular that we had a look at here was from a company called Droidax. That's Droid with an AX on the end, and it was the Power Pack. And as its name suggests, it is a case with a built-in rechargeable battery. So it actually serves two purposes. One, as a protective case. The top of the power pack actually unclips. As you can see, you can slide the Galaxy S3 down into the case. There's a micro USB little plug at the bottom of the case that connects then into the micro USB port on the device. The top of the case then clips back into place so that the phone, the Galaxy S3, is firmly held into place. So that's as a case, that is the first function. Now, the second function, and probably the most important function, is that the fact that this device, the Power Pack, has a built-in rechargeable battery means that you can extend your Galaxy S3's battery life. Now, I've reviewed the Galaxy S3 on Tech Guide when it was released back in June, and one of the most impressive things about it was the battery. But for power users who are using, that are on email, that are taking photos, that are streaming music, that are watching videos, surfing the web, that need that extra power kick towards the end of the day and maybe into the next, this is a handy device to have, not only protecting the Galaxy S3, but also just in your pocket so that at the press of a button, there is a button on the back of the product, an on button that actually activates the charging mechanism and four LED light indicators to show you how much charge is actually left in the power pack, so you can not be left without a charge, especially if you've been out all day, you may be heading out to a function at night and there's no power point in sight. The power pack comes in really handy, and you can even keep the power pack around on the Galaxy S3 and still charge and sync the device. You can even do a data sync all the way through the power pack as well without the need to remove the product as well. Another good thing I liked about it was the price. It's actually quite affordable. It's $49.95, and it's also available in blue and pearl white, which are the colors to match the different Galaxy S3 models that are available in Australia today. If you want to check out my review, it's on techguide.com.au. Now, Telstra has released an Android smartphone called the Urbane. And this is a prepaid smartphone that's actually got a lot of impressive features for the price. Now, I'll tell you the price up front. It's only $149. This is an Android 4.0, so it's running the latest Android operating system, touchscreen smartphone. It's got a 4-inch touchscreen, as a matter of fact. The device is actually manufactured by ZTE, well-known Chinese company that manufactures a lot of the Telstra-branded products. The model number is actually the T22, the Telstra Urbane. That's the actual model number. But I've reviewed this on Tech Guide, and for the price, this is probably one of the best value prepaid phones or smartphones that I've seen in recent times. It's got a nice design. It's about a centimeter thick, so it's not as slender and light as the Galaxy S3 or the HTC One XL. But for what you're getting for the price, it's only a centimeter thick, 12 centimeters long, so it feels pretty good in your hand. Only weighs 140 grams. Headphone jack at the top, micro USB charge and sync port. It's also got a 3-megapixel camera. But right out of the box, of course, you've got Android 4.0. So that gives you all the latest Google products. So search and Gmail, Google Maps, calendar access to YouTube. But as I mentioned, the 3-megapixel camera, it's got a 4-gigabyte internal memory. Now, I think this device, it's got a 1 gigahertz processor as well. So it's pretty snappy. This is the device, I think, designed for someone who may be wanting to buy their very first smartphone, or to buy something, maybe something for their child. Maybe they've just, there may be a first smartphone for their son or daughter. But also for anyone who's looking to just to save some money, if they just want to pay an outright price of $149, there are a lot of SIM only plans, from all the major carriers, as well as companies like Amaysim that can give you a good value plan so that your budget is not going to be too high. You're not paying a cap that you may go over. You can actually control your spend. So the Telstra Urbane prepaid Android smartphone, I gave it 4 stars out of 5. I think it's great value. Really punches above its weight, I said in my review, for those who want a good value device that really basically meets all your smartphone needs. You've got access to all the apps, so you can do all your social networking, make and receive calls, text messaging, browse the web, all in a pretty good value product. $149 for the Telstra Urbane, otherwise known as the ZTE T22. Full review is at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
This week, our Tech Guide interview is an interesting one. It's with John Coppola, who's the Clancy Catholic College e-learning coordinator. There is, when I went to school, e-learning, there was no such thing. Mobiles were something that were hung over babies' cribs. Tablets were things we used to take when we were sick, but not nowadays. At school, especially at Clancy Catholic College, as you'll hear from my interview with John in a moment, the school's actually embarking on a project to eventually provide each of their students with an iPad. So that gives them easier access to information, apps, and even textbooks. At the moment, they've got a 1-for-1 laptop program. They're an Apple school, so Apple products, MacBook Pros, MacBook Airs, and eventually there'll be iPads in the school. John and I had a chat about this earlier, and he mentioned there are so many benefits about having this latest technology in the schools, from not only ease of learning, but really engaging the students, making learning fun, but also the most interesting thing too was lightening decreasing the weight of their backpacks. And the way they do that is by incorporating all the textbooks on the tablets or on their laptops, so they don't have to carry these heavy books to school every day. So that's one physical benefit already from this program. Clancy Catholic College is one of many schools that Apple has really gotten behind and given advice on how their products can be used to benefit their students and really give them a better education. But we took time to talk to John a little bit earlier. Well, John, thanks for joining us. You're the e-learning coordinator over there. So tell us, just how important is technology in education?
Well, Stephen, technology has turned education upside down, basically. We've transitioned in the last 3 years to a 1-to-1 laptop program, and honestly, I don't know what we do without it now. Most of our processes are based around ICT and just how we communicate. For instance, you know, when we don't have laptops, we have to go back to first principles. But essentially, it's turned the way we teach around. Teachers have made that transition, and learning styles have changed. So, yeah, okay. It's at the heart of it all.
Absolutely. Now, you're obviously a school that uses a lot of Apple products. Apple, very, very huge in the education market there. And I understand that now with the introduction of tablets, and in particular the iPad, you're thinking of introducing a 1-for-1 iPad program there as well?
The plan is, yeah, we were initially going for that this in 2013, but we're moving towards it in 2014 now for students. In 2013, we are aiming to arm the teachers with iPads, so it gives them a year to get their heads around that. Uh-huh. and redesigning programs, e-books for the students. And then in 2014, we'll start rolling them out en masse to students.
Just on the tablet, the format of it, the functionality of it as well, the touch screen, the portability, is that more appropriate, easier to use for students than a laptop, do you think, or what do you think about that?
Well, for one, bag weight is reduced significantly. With our laptops, we've had issues over the last few years with bag weight. Mm-hmm. Now, as you know, students tend to cram everything into their bag, and with a laptop on top, it tends to be quite heavy. Mm-hmm. Costs as well is dramatically reduced.
Okay.
So that's a big bonus for parents.
Okay, but with the bag weight, though, I suppose you're talking about having the textbooks preloaded onto the iPad. Is that right?
Yeah, the textbooks are preloaded onto. Are we talking about MacBooks or iPads?
No, the iPad. Yeah, the tablet.
When we move towards the tablets, the iPads. We'll have students will be able to download their textbooks into their iBook app. So they'll download it as a PDF or an ebook.
That's literally a load off their back right there, isn't it? But just in terms of technology and education, I find that from what I'm seeing is that technology tends to make learning fun. I think would it be fair to say a lot of students don't realise they're learning, they're having that much fun and sort of getting involved with the material in a different way?
Yeah, it does make learning fun, but it turns learning around. I mean, we once had this philosophy that the teacher was the what we call the sage on the stage, where they were the dissipator of knowledge. But when technology comes into play, the teacher is no longer the key holder of knowledge now. The teacher becomes more of the shepherd, more of the facilitator, the guider. The student has access to unlimited knowledge. So it kind of turns things around, upside down, as I said.
Fair enough. Are you finding, too, that students are learning a little easier? It's becoming easier for them to grasp the information and to learn and absorb the information through the use of tablets and laptops now?
The access of information is quick and easy and fast. Now, the challenge for teachers now is to go deeper into the learning processes and guide students in how to learn and how to research and how to filter information.
Okay.
So it's very fast, very quick and easy now.
Okay. And with the introduction of the iPad in particular, will there be any apps that you'd recommend for your students? Is there an app you're going to develop yourself, the school, for the students? How's that going to work?
My number one app at the moment is EduCreations. It's called EDU Creations. And what that is doing for me at the moment is I'm able to create video content, demonstrations and tutorials online, and quickly upload them onto another app, which is a learning space called Edmodo. And it's a virtual classroom, basically. So I'm able to do my lessons at home. Kids can watch the lessons at home, and then when we get into the classroom, we can start looking at the nitty-gritty and working on problems and discussing things, so you know, the deeper learning.
Terrific.
Well, so Edmodo?
Yep.
Edmodo and EduCreations.
Sure.
Two apps that I would recommend.
Well, you're certainly making school sound like a lot of fun. I think a lot of kids are going to be they're going to be wanting to come to school nowadays.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to get the kids off the laptops. It's it's kind of like that when they get home. You know, the parents have the challenge of trying to sort of get them off the laptop at late at night. So, yeah, we're faced with those challenges. But, yes, as you said, like, it's a lot of fun and students are engaged.
No worries. Well, John, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. Thank you.
Pleasure, Steve.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Our help desk this week, first off, we're going to talk about GPS and whether you need an app or a dedicated device. This is a question. I remember writing a story about a GPS device. I think it was a Navman a few weeks ago. I can't recall. But I remember one of the comments that stuck in my mind. One of the comments said, why buy a dedicated device when I can just buy an app for my smartphone? And that's a very good question and one that I thought I'd talk about here today. Well, there are many advantages to having a GPS app, namely the price. A GPS app could cost you less than $100, sometimes some a lot cheaper. They run on a device that's always with you, so you don't have to remember to take this other product. The downside of having a GPS app on your smartphone is the fact that you need to find a mount. With our laws at the moment, you're not allowed to touch your smartphone in the car. Even if you're stopped at the lights, you're not allowed to put your hands on your smartphone. So you need a mount. So you need to be able to access, have the smartphone positioned in a way where you can easily see it. And for you to not have to touch the device when you're driving the car, so you can get your GPS turn by turn directions. Now, the downside of having a GPS app is that it's going to, if you don't have a charger handy, it's going to also burn your battery. If you're on a long journey, you may find that you arrive at your destination and you've only got a little bit of battery left, and you may be left short. You might not have a phone, and even for the journey on the way back, as I said, if you don't have a charger in the car, you're going to be left behind. Whereas having a dedicated GPS device, its benefits it's designed just to help you with your GPS. And today's GPS devices are relatively cheap. You can buy an entry level GPS device for less than $150, and with that you're getting turn by turn directions, spoken street names, a lot of the bells and whistles. A lot of them have Bluetooth hands free car kits built in, so that solves the problem of you not touching your smartphone. You got all that piped through the GPS system. Another benefit of having a dedicated device, and a lot of apps can do this as well, but another benefit of having a device dedicated is that you get a lot of traffic updates, and they normally come with a mount so that they can easily be mounted on the windscreen or the dashboard, and they've got their own charger, and they're not going to drain your smartphone's battery. So there are the benefits and downsides of GPS app versus dedicated GPS devices. Plenty of good value choices out there on either side, apps and devices. So I've reviewed a couple of them on Tech Guide, so you may want to check them out.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, we all love to travel, and traveling often involves, in fact, always involves you taking some kind of technology with you, whether it's your mobile phone, your computer, your tablet. So I've decided to compile a few travel tips. Here we go. What do you need when you take a device with you overseas or anywhere for that matter? You need a charger. Now, there are many ways you can reduce the amount of chargers and the number of cables and cords that you need to take with you by being smart. Think smart. So rather than taking, one example of this is rather than taking all the different cables for all the different products, you may find that there is maybe one cable that can fit a couple of chargers. In the case of camera chargers, where you remove the battery out of the camera, the actual chargers need to have a little connection that is common with a lot of other chargers. One thing I do, though, when I travel is I take a power board with me, because what that saves me doing, rather than having to buy five different adapters for the US or wherever I'm traveling, I need to only have one adapter that goes in the wall, and then I've got a power board. My power board has five connections, so I can just use my Aussie plugs in the power board, and having the one in the wall used with the adapter, that reduces the number of adapters you need to buy. Another thing you can do too is a lot of products can be charged by USB, so maybe connecting them to your computer may charge them as well. Another thing to take note of, data roaming. We've spoken about this on an earlier program. Don't use data roaming. It's going to cost you an arm and a leg. Buy a SIM card for the country that you're traveling to, the US, Europe, wherever, Asia, wherever you happen to be traveling. Buy a SIM card when you get there, prepaid, so you're not going to get a shocking bill when you return. Now, when you're out and about on your travels, you normally got your camera, you've normally got your smartphone. But I suggest, if your smartphone does have this capability, and I know cameras do, carry around a spare battery. Now, if you're going to be using a dedicated camera rather than just using your smartphone's camera, having that spare battery, if you're snapping away all day, having that spare battery when the low battery signal is indicated on your device, you can simply pop out the old battery, put in the fully charged battery. That'll get you back. That'll have you enough power until you return back to your hotel room. Of course, memory cards, you need plenty of those. Have a couple handy. And if you do need to upload your photos, so if you've got your laptop or your tablet, there are ways to upload your photos to the device, and then that way you can wipe the memory card when you want to go out and take some more photos. Speaking of laptops and tablets, do you need to take your laptop, or will a tablet do? maybe instead of having to lug around that heavy laptop, maybe an iPad or an Android tablet might do the trick. Because when you're away, unless it's a work trip, of course, if you're there, if you're just on a trip, a holiday for pleasure, not for business, a tablet may just be enough for you to browse the web, maybe check your emails, use some apps. So you may not have to take your full-blown laptop with you on the journey. That also save a lot of weight in your bag. Now, in your room, your internet connection, here's another tip. Rather than having, and what's normal procedure in a, when you're in a hotel room, if you're paying for internet connections, you normally have only one connection. So if there's two people, if you're traveling with your family, unless it's free Wi-Fi for everyone, if you do have to pay for that connection, that you have to pay for each connection in the room. One way around that is to take along your own router. There are a lot of small routers on the market. If you've got room in your bag, maybe fit a router in there so you can take the Ethernet connection in your hotel room and then create your own little Wi-Fi network in the room so that all these other devices can connect using the one connection that you pay for. Rather than having to pay for several connections, you're only paying for one and sharing it wirelessly. Now, there is a product by Netcom, the N150, that is designed for this particular purpose. Now, it can also connect 3G USB modems and share that wirelessly, but it can also act as its own little router, and it's the size of a deck of cards, smaller than Netcom N150. I have reviewed it on the Tech Guide website, so that is one, the first thing I pack in my bag when I travel, because normally I've got an internet connection, an Ethernet connection into my MacBook Pro, but I also want to maybe browse on my iPad or my iPhone or whatever wireless device I happen to be using, and that Netcom N150 creates that little wireless network for me then to have that connection anywhere in my room without paying the extra cost. Well, that's all we've got time for this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. We want to hear from you too, so feel free to get in touch with us here at Tech Guide. Send us an email at info@techguide.com.au or head over to the Tech Guide forum if you'd like your question answered here on the Tech Guide help desk. So we look forward to your company next week. See you later.